Well, if it's that big, then yeah, that's exactly why he's making a date. He pulls that motherfucker out. They're like, man, you better get that shit away from me.
Just
no, who the fuck you think you
just
are?
The tip, but, just the tip.
Just the tip. He went in for an early for he's gone and had multiple circumcisions.
They'll wither him down to a stump.
He's like, yeah, I can get a date. And then he turns, and they're like, nah, man, that's just too small. And he's like, fuck.
Son of a bitch.
Dude, drop us an intro.
What do I need to do? How do I drop an intro?
I mean, you've heard the show. You know what I do.
Yeah, but you just do it so beautifully.
Oh, come on, man.
What?
I want to hear that beautiful, beautiful Australian accent start my show off. Nah.
He's like, there's the Australian intro. Ah, cunt!
That's staying.
Yeah, no, I can't sing your theme song, number one. And I don't have enough beer, so... I don't know. Welcome all. Hello.
Well, everybody, if you haven't seen the 2007 and the 2011 Ghost Rider and Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, well, I don't really blame you because Nicolas Cage, but I also kind of blame you because Nicolas Cage. So we're definitely going to get into this. I think we're going to get more enjoyment out of this than we did actually watching these. But all right. So everybody ready?
Yes.
Let's start the show.
Here, Tom Thompson, adventure begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by NOW and Technicolor Podcast.
Bumpin' to the heat, swimming on the feet, in a Technicolor beam, you and me. Caught up in a dream, in a Technicolor beam, to the heat.
All right, everybody. So this is John or Jay Lost the Day, and this is Now in Technicolor. And I am sitting here with a friend of mine from across the pond, Duty from Shaken Not Nerd. How's it going, bud?
Good, buddy. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Thanks. Hey, I'm not your friend, buddy.
People who want you I'm guys, not your buddy, and now your buddies, and now your buddies, and now your friends.
As is tradition.
As was tradition. She's putting her hand in the pudding.
Yeah, I was putting a hand in the pudding. Now he is ripping her left arm off and now inserting into his anus, as is tradition.
It's so fucking good.
It's so ridiculous. Oh, it's fucking great. But so this is awesome. I've been looking forward to this. I actually had to put it off. I apologize, Duty, due to personal family issues, which really suck because I was looking super forward to that. And I was like, oh, great. Now I'm screwed.
Well, at least you got a extra time to think about how good Nicolas Cage is in these films.
That is true. I was left with more time to stew in my own juices about it.
Like,
and the longer I kept going on about it, I'm just like, I thought the first movie didn't give a fuck. That second movie just gave no fuck. I was like, that is like Nick on a rant. Just no fuck.
Speaking of stewing in juice, it's just like Eddie Murphy's balls in Raw in leather pants, stewing
just
in salt.
I'm telling you, just not breathable, man. Leather just doesn't breathe.
And Nicolas Cage wears leather.
And you know the 80s, man. He probably had to be cut out them goddamn pants by the time it was said and done.
Probably Nicolas Cage as well. I think they filmed this the first film in Melbourne in summer, I believe.
Yeah, I was gonna say he had to be freaking dying. I don't know. You would know better. I don't know how actual hot it is though.
Shit. Because you guys use Fahrenheit, where you get to like 36, 37 Celsius. So listeners at home, figure out the math.
That's roughly mid to late 90s. Probably somewhere around 97 to 99 degrees, somewhere around there probably.
It's a very dry heat as well.
You figure zero degrees Celsius is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, so both of those are freezing. So, and you add 30 points, you're probably adding close to that. So, yeah, I'm sure everyone wanted to listen to me do maths.
Could be better things to talk about than...
Ashley has immediately turned this episode off and is like, nah, fuck you guys.
She's untaped her fingers and going, nah.
Nope, done. I'm done. No math.
Man, we really should have done a math film.
Yeah, that's what we should have done, man. I tell you what, we should have done Bobby Fischer or something. Really, come on now. Just do some math and chess all at the same time. Yeah. Bore the pants off everybody.
I doubt it would have gone off the rails compared to Ghost Rider.
I don't know, man. That little motherfucker thought he was the brightest son of a bitch under the world, man. Cocky son of a bitch. No, I don't know, but this is definitely gonna be something. So here, everybody, we're gonna hop into the 2007 Ghost Rider.
You should be taking a dirt nap after that ragdoll today.
I got lucky.
Luck don't cover it, JB. You got an angel looking after you.
Maybe it's something else. Story goes that he'll be normal during the day, but at night, in the presence of evil, the Rider takes over.
You look delirious.
Oh, man. Not too bad. Not too bad. Although I did just repeat that like three times, so maybe worse than I thought.
Well, just go off the rails. Just add in, if there's nothing better than just hearing long beeps rather than cutting it out, just put beeps in.
Just beeps. Beep. Everybody thinks I've been saying something super offensive. I'm just like, nah, I was asleep. I literally passed out at the keyboard. Dude, he's like sitting there yelling, going, God damn it, you dumb bastard, the second time.
Wake up!
Wake up! I got a fucking show to record!
We gotta talk about fucking Nick Cage and leather pants and Eva Mendes badly acting and...
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, God. All right, so yeah. 2007 Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage and Eva Mendes and that motherfucker that was in, Grounded for Life.
Yes.
You never saw that. It was the red-haired guy that was his best friend. He plays a guy named Shane that's on Grounded for Life, along with, if you ever saw Superbad, the guy that plays his brother is the dude that's inside the party that they go to that gets mad at, what's his name? Now I'm brain farting. Jonah Hill.
Yep.
You know when he's dancing with that girl and she gets blood on his pants?
Yeah.
The dude that was his brother in that show.
Well, you've got Nick Cage, Eva Mendes, Sam Elliott. So
yes, Sam Elliott, the man with the most glorious mustache. Although Duty has a really, really fine beard.
It's
a rather attractive beard.
It's not that good. It'll get there one day.
He's like, one day it will be a large, burly beard.
Be a manly beard. A great big,
be a manly,
a big manly beard.
He's gonna grow a wizard beard.
Oh, Gandalf beard. That'd be sweet. Imagine a Ghost Rider with a flaming beard. We've already made the first film.
That'd be
better.
Pretty slick. Yeah, instantly better.
It also had instantly Peter better. Fonda and Donald Logue. Donald Logue rings a bell?
I'm not sure. There might be that one dude, actually.
And Wes Bentley, who played the character Blackheart, the big bad guy.
Yeah, the big bad guy, that was a fantastic bad guy, great enemy, loved him, wasn't terrible at all.
I think probably first emo in film ever. His dad didn't understand him. He wore all black. He hated everything.
I don't know if that was the first emo in film ever, but it damn sure was a very prominent emo in film.
Hated everyone. Complained. Why?
He's like, I hate my life. There's nothing for me to complain about. I'm cutting my wrist, Dad.
You don't understand me, Peter Fonda.
It's like, why don't you go play another goddamn song? But seriously.
This movie, my God.
Ooh. Oh, man. I'm telling you, from the moment this kicks off, why is it that Nicolas Cage doesn't even have the same accent as the kid that plays the younger version of Nicolas Cage?
Yeah. I think the little kid who plays Johnny Blaze, who's the character who goes right, does hell of a lot better than Nick Cage. I'm like, let's just follow the
kid. Man, are you kidding me? I watched him in this movie way more than I'd have watched Nicolas Cage.
Mm.
Like, I would have way more enjoyed that just because of the fact I feel like the jump from him being, about 17, 18 years old at the beginning of this, and then jumping to be, fucking almost late 30s.
Yeah.
This is not good. I'm like, why couldn't he be, early, mid-20s?
Yeah.
Would make sense.
You'd think as well.
Make a lot of sense, especially how big he is, what he's doing. They was just like, man, we gotta get somebody that we can pay not a lot of money that everybody knows.
Little fact, he actually vouched and tried to get this film funded. Nick Cage is a big Ghost Rider fan and has a Ghost Rider tattoo.
That is true. That had to be covered up for the filming of Johnny Blaze to do it. And so I think that's actually pretty interesting that he actually had to have it covered up. But I did know he was a big push for it. And that he's actually a very large fan of Ghost Rider, which begs the question, what the fuck happened?
Someone who knows all this lore and knowledge, and he just went, yeah, the script sounds good.
Yeah, it's like, man, that sounds great.
Yeah, I can do this. this sounds great. When do I get to go crazy in front of camera?
Right. Oh. You just wait till we get to that second one. Oh, you just wait. I'm going to tell you, we thought this was bad. All right, so, yeah, I mean, you get that, and you have him kind of like, he makes, of course, his dad, which is one of the things that I think is ridiculous. It's like, his dad's already dying. His dad's already made it, accepted it, been like, man, I'm just going to go ahead and die. I'm going out in a blaze of glory. For some fucking reason, I'm not going to tell my son at all. But then as soon as he makes this deal to save my life, because I've basically died, or I've died already, he brings me back to life, and then I feel the need to tell him I was dying of cancer. Or tumor, I can't remember what it is now, but he was dying. He was like, I was already dying. But now I feel great.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. You see, the dad is coughing a lot. He's constantly smoking. You see the paperwork in the bin saying that, he's terminally ill with lung cancer, I think it is. He signs the deal with the devil with a single drop of blood. And then as soon as Johnny wakes up in the morning, he has a letter. The dad has a letter from the doctor saying he's been given the all clear. The kid woke up at maybe 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. How quickly can a doctor give you an all clear for cancer?
It was clearly past midnight, midnight, a little better by the time they even made the motherfucking deal.
Mm.
Then it just straight flashes to him being in bed. So I'm assuming the devil went click and just transported him into his damn bed, did some shit like that. Because, yeah, ain't no doctor at 8, 9 o'clock in the motherfucking morning sending you shit.
You're at least in the waiting room.
Ain't sending
45
you a motherfucking thing. Yeah. They're like, man, we're going to call you. Then we're going to leave you on hold for about an hour. Then we're going
to
pick up.
Oh, I can't help you. You need to go to shit. This specialist. Then that specialist will take your blood. Then you need to go see. It's lung cancer, so you need to go see a foot doctor.
Yeah. Need to make sure you go get feet looked at. Maybe get some orthopedic soles.
Because that'll help cancer.
Yeah, that helps cancer, doesn't it? Orthopedic soles? maybe a nice jock strap.
Just keeping it all in, speaking of sweaty balls.
Yeah, just keeping it all in, keep it up. You know, man, maybe your balls hanging so low from getting old, that's what's causing your cancer.
It's this film just does, if you watch it, even if you're shit-faced drunk, it still makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, where does all that time go in between the transitions? And then Eva Mendez, why did we go with Eva Mendez? That was the most wooden performance.
And every single shot, doesn't matter what she's wearing, her cleavage is just out.
Yeah. You know why? Because Eva Mendez's entire career is built around the top of her boobs.
I reckon if you look at the credits closely, there is like cleavage manager.
Yeah, I mean, got to be. I mean, think about that Fast and Furious movie. You saw more of her tits than you saw of a goddamn acting ability.
You got a point.
That's right.
My question is Johnny Blaze's is dad, how did he actually die in the end? He just fell off his motorcycle while going through a tiny hoop and he just falls over and
okay.
He's dead.
Okay. How did he die? He didn't even launch off the ramp. He literally coasted through this goddamn circle, landed on the ground, maybe fell about 10 feet.
If that.
And he was just like, man, just dead. Just fucking dead. It doesn't make any sense. It would make sense if like maybe he was burnt up and like looked like a charred piece of shit, but no.
He just fell.
He looks like, yeah, he just fell. It's like, oh my God, I tripped, fell. Oh my God, I died.
Maybe they used the Star Wars, he lost the will to live, and he just like carked at mid-motorcycle jump.
His life force was the idea of mitochondrians that almost killed the entire...
Good one, Liam Neeson.
Like, Jesus, come on, man. It's not even his fault. But you gotta have somebody to blame.
No.
No, but not Liam. Not Liam. Come on, man. We love Liam. But seriously, you know what we don't love? This goddamn movie, because, like, seriously, like, the plot makes no sense. You get into this, you get to where he's, like, the actual, like, adult. Now, explain to me. Someone explain to me that in fucking over 20 fucking years that this dumb shit has this ability, that he not once in 20 years triggers this thing.
Or notices something weird every time he goes to light a cigarette, the flame just points in his direction.
Yeah. A lighter lights up, he goes near a flame, it just starts pulling him. You're telling me that for like 20 years, he was completely oblivious to all of this? No. That doesn't even make any fucking sense.
Well, he keeps trying to kill himself by like doing stupid, crazy jumps. And the one thing I will say is you had like Johnny Blaze's dad who falls over and dies, but then it's like the first jump that Nicolas Cage Johnny Blaze does, he falls over the front of his motorbike and the wheel hits his visor and smashes his helmet. I'm like, that's a brutal stunt. That's cool. Why didn't you do that with the dad?
Because the actor actually playing his dad's body couldn't physically actually take not doing the stunt and having some sort of stuntman do his actual stunt for him. So he was like, nah, man, I got to do this with myself. But I'm not actually going to do that much. So I'm just going to drive this through this hoop and fall down.
God.
I feel like that was a character choice.
This is that area of comic book films where you either got really, really good or really, really bad. You didn't get a middle ground like what we've got now.
No, there was not a middle ground really too much at all. Like, come on, man. 99 is Captain America.
No.
Look at those ears.
Thanks, Mr. President.
Aww. I mean, he doesn't notice this at any point. And then it triggers as he's going to be on a date with Eva Mendez for the first time in like 20 fucking years.
Mm. The devil just rocks up and goes, "Oh yeah, my son's here. I need you to find this contract and bring it to me. Fuck your date with a big boob woman. Bye."
Yeah, it's like he was like, "Oh man, wait, you got a date with a lady and the one that you actually love? Oh hell, let me make sure I fuck this up."
And
I've had no reason to before, but now seems like a good time.
Yeah, it's been about 20, 25 years or so. Is this a bad time? Yeah, like you wouldn't really want him to, like, you know, the devil knocks on the door while you're taking a dump after Mexican food. And he's like, "Hey, you think the fire out of your ass hurts? Yeah.
Hey, so can I get those TPS reports sometime soon?"
That'd be great.
Yeah,
could you just get me this contract of something fucking or other? That'd be great.
If we could just get you to scoot your desk back about another 2 feet into that corner there, that'd be great. Thank you.
There's just Nick Cage and they go, but that's my motorcycle. I bought this motorcycle from home.
Yeah, if you could just give me back my motorcycle.
That'd be great.
It's mine.
It's my motorcycle.
Burn this whole place down. I set this whole place on fire.
Already a better script. We've written it better already.
Man, I thought Ghost Biscuit was a pretty good idea, but man, so far we're improving even on that.
Ghost Biscuit was pretty good. I was like slamming my head on a desk at work from laughter.
But yeah, I enjoyed that. But in all honesty though, Jesus, like, you do this and then the demons that are hanging out with the son,
Blackheart's minions. You've got the lead singer from Korn, Jared Leto, and Nick Oliveri from Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, that's a hell of a way to start your acting career.
That's not actually them, it just looks exactly like them.
It does kind of look exactly like them. But so explain to me why they have souls, but yet Blackout doesn't.
Because the script requires it to.
That makes a lot of sense.
I actually don't think that adds up. No, I don't know if they do have souls because he doesn't. Ghost Rider doesn't kill him with the penance stare.
He does. He kills the water one with the penance stare in the water.
Ah, he does, doesn't he?
He does.
Chrissy and Justin's favorite moment of that film, Ghost Rider underwater, still on fire.
Yeah, right? He's still on fire. One of the greatest moments is when he ends up in the middle of the fucking, like, lake or river, and, like, he's completely sunk, and they're just staring, and then he just comes popping up back out of the fucking water, and just, and I'm like, okay. Alrighty then.
All right. One of them should have been Matthew McConaughey. That would have been sweet. Like, yo, not Johnny Cage.
Sweet, yeah.
I gotta stop you.
Hey, I'm Johnny Blaze. And let me tell you about this.
I was driving a Lincoln before I was paid to.
Goddamn Lincoln. Yeah. I got a Lincoln Harley Davidson extreme model.
I was driving it before they told me to drive it.
That's right. Before I even did this movie, I already had one. All right. But no, like, God. I want to, like, find something other than that. Well, I have one particular moment of the movie that I actually do enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's actually near the end of the fucking movie.
When Nicolas Cage is no longer seen. He's not in the scene.
Yeah, that's actually a good one. That's actually really good. But no, like, you go through that, he gets all of them. Like, he kills the one in the wind with. He's like, "You can't stop the wind." And then he heats up his chain and creates a heat tornado that just burns it away. The other one, he does the same thing. He grabs with his chain and just heats up until he turns to dust.
Yeah. Pretty creative. How are we going to make him fight this time? How about we make him spew hellfire from his mouth? No, let's just use the chain again. That just seems to work.
No, hellfire from his mouth would be pretty cool. Nah, let's not do that.
No. He's got some, like, the character's got some really cool powers, and it's just chains. Chains and a demonic shotgun.
Well, no, yeah. I was like, a one-time use of a demonic shotgun. Like, one time. You get one shot out of it the entire movie. Other than that, when they use the fucking shotgun, and I want to know how this double-barrel shotgun is shooting, like, 8 goddamn rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
How? No, they... He hands them like a double barrel shotgun, and they are treating it like a fucking pump action.
Yep. I'll just spin it around my wrist.
At certain points,
Collect yourself.
You can hear them pumping the gun. They even do the for a pump action shotgun, but it's a double barrel shotgun.
Welcome to Nicolas Cage.
It doesn't have a pump on it. It didn't make any. I was like, how is this shooting so many rounds? And then after the third round, she shoots from Eva Mendez, and that doesn't count all the rounds that
the Terminator 2 moment
shot. Yeah. It's throw me the gun. It's got no ammo. Throw me the gun. Demonic shotgun shoots fucking flaming ball of fire out of it. Okay.
But okay. The
shotgun looks cool.
Even the action moments are fucked up. But even the first time, the devil comes to Johnny Blaze and makes him sort of leave Eva Mendez at the restaurant. She takes an 8-ball to the diner to ask the 8-ball question. Who keeps an 8-ball in their handbag?
That is true. That is true. I feel like Chris and them would possibly take 8-balls around with them to ask questions.
Chris Brayton's like, should we have ordered dessert? Rolls the fucking 8-ball. All signs look to yes. Yes!
Yeah, right? It's like, not the possibilities are not looking good. Fuck! It's like, I really wanted that dessert, but 8-ball says no.
It's just like, I've literally, like, watching this film, I've written so many notes, and I'm looking at them now, and none of it I can actually make sense of. I've only got maybe one or caretaker? Two cool moments in this film.
The first goddamn time he meets the caretaker, you're like, okay, this guy knows something. All right, so maybe we're going to get some explanation as to something. No, Johnny's just going to take right off.
Yep.
And then we're going to come right back to him. We're going to hear this cool-ass story about Slade, and then there's nothing.
Yeah.
Literally, hear story, fade out. It's like, okay, cool. So we're not going to get any other explanation onto this, or maybe some explanation as to what's going on with Johnny Blaze at the moment. Like, what's actually happening other than the fact that this dude, like, became a ghostwriter in, like, the late 1800s and then stole a contract for the deal with a bunch of dead souls.
And they don't even explain how the Ghost Rider works. It's just, at nighttime, in the presence of evil, you transform. That's it.
Oh. Which is even more, I'm like, the one thing I do know, just in general, is that, where did they get that?
It's wrong. It's wrong!
Yeah, that's why I'm like, where did they get that? Where did they pull that one out of their ass from? That they're like, we just thought it'd be a really interesting concept that the Ghost Rider only was able to work in the shadows.
What is he, like, Batman?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, is he fucking Batman? Did someone come to you from Assassin's Creed and was like, you know what seems like a good idea?
Michael Fassbender comes out and goes, I've got a good idea here.
Yeah, Michael Fass, dude, yeah, I've got a great idea. He's going to work in the shadows. Michael Bay was in there and was like, man, is there a way we can add some more flames to this?
A giant explosion.
Which most likely explains why Ghost Rider is still on fire when he goes underwater.
Yeah. Michael Bay, we need your help with something. Right. Hold my beer.
We've got to figure out the physics. Yeah, hold my beer, man. So the physics of this should say that he should still be on fire underwater. Because apparently Ghost Rider's flame never goes out. Ever. No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, another what the fuck moment for you is the first time he's going to Blackout just before he transforms at the train yard. The cops find out that Johnny Blaze is somehow involved with the destruction of a street because they used the tire tread on his motorbike and matched it to his bike. The wheels are on fire.
Yeah. Okay. The tires are melting the fucking ground underneath it. How did they pull tire tracks? What? This isn't how this works.
I've got
This isn't how any of this works.
A friend of mine is actually an extra in that film.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can see him in the crowd.
He's bystander number two?
Yeah, he was in the crowd as like a supporter sort of thing. And that actual scene where the bike goes down the street and the cars flip into the shops and everything explodes.
Yeah.
They were standing next to the camera, the director at the time, and they go, oh, how many takes have you got on this? And he goes, just one. And if it fucks up, we're screwed. And they closed off a street in Melbourne to film that.
Oh, hell. That's wild, man. Well, obviously, I guess they got it to his satisfaction in the one take.
They must have been happy with at least something with filming this.
They obviously were. Most of the good points of the entire movie are all Sam Elliott.
Ooh, like, I've got one good moment, but it literally lasts for the space of 3 seconds. That's about it.
All right, what's that one?
He gets the first time he transforms where he gets flung off his motorbike, and you get this like holy choir sort of thing with this like demonic music, and as he's walking, his feet are catching fire. I'm like, that's cool. And then like,
oh, okay.
I'm like, that part at the start's fine, and then Nick Cage just goes insane and looks directly at the camera and starts screaming into the camera.
Yeah, we didn't need that. But yeah, no, that was actually pretty cool. I really do enjoy it, like the very kind of the end where he comes to meet Slade again, and then he gets the contract, and Slade's like, yep, well then I guess we better get started because it's like 500 miles away. And Nick just keeps looking at him as he just walks. He's like, well, how, like, you know, could you keep up? How are you gonna do it? And like, he whistles and the horse comes out. He sits up on the fucking horse and then puts the hat on and transforms into the Ghost Rider.
Yeah,
that literally is one of the coolest scenes to me. I'm like watching Sam Elliott turn into the fucking Ghost Rider.
That was very cool.
And then when he pops, and then when he makes the horse, like he makes the comment and he makes the horse the Ghost Rider.
Yeah,
horse.
Can you keep up? Yeah,
yeah. And I'm like, okay. I really do enjoy that. I think that's pretty good. And he's like, let's ride. And they take off. And I'm like, this is literally my favorite part of the whole movie.
But then it's immediately after that is, I can only transform into the Ghost Rider a selected number of times. I brought you here to show you where to go. I'm going home now. And disappears into the wind like, no, let's not stay around and help fight. Let's okay. just take you down
here,
and go home.
Yeah, that got on my nerves super hard. He does all this to go that way with him. He's already the Ghost Rider, and then yeah, I could only transform into the Ghost Rider that one more time, and I selected it just for this moment. Now I'm disappearing, but I think was he going home or was he going off to die? Because my insinuation was that maybe at this point he was going to die.
Yeah, the wind blows and he disappears. But the way it works in the book as well is if evil touches you, like a demon, whatever, actually physically touches you, you transform into the Ghost Rider. So that's how, like, the Ghost Rider can actually find out who's a demon as he grabs them. If he transforms, they're a demon.
Yeah.
Blackheart rocks up at the cemetery and beats the shit out of Slade and actually knocks him to the ground, and he doesn't transform.
And never once does he turn, yeah. So, yeah, that's bullshit. He should have instantly transformed right then.
Yeah.
And become the Ghost Rider.
In the presence of evil at nighttime. You said that's your rule, and you broke your own rule.
Right? That they broke the exact... Apparently, Slade had been the Ghost Rider for so long that he had absolute control over it. Did anyone else think that they were mixing Ghost Rider up with the Hulk?
A little bit, yeah. They start beating it. Like, they start beating him up in the jail, and he starts getting like angry and then just transforms.
Well, there's just lines. Like, he makes lines like, you wouldn't, that are just almost, they're damn near the equivalency of, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Pretty much.
Like, he especially does it in the second film. The second film, he fucking, oh, God. More than one time. And I'm just like, what the hell?
There are more sins in that film.
But you get all the way to the end of this. He you get to Legion. Which I'm like, okay, so this was the plot. We have three minions that have souls, followed by a guy that technically doesn't have a soul, fathered by a guy that does have a soul, in order for the plot line to work, so that way he can in basically intake all of these thousand other souls due to this contract that was signed, becomes fucking Legion. Now he's full of souls. And I'm like, So you're telling me for this whole purpose of the plot of this fucking movie, it was so that way he could be an empty vessel.
Yep.
For some souls that were in a dead town that's been dead since like the 1800s.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. I don't think you have a fundamental understanding of the way Legion works.
And I think as soon as he turns into Legion, he throws like Eva Mendez across this little town. She land, like, her spine goes into a wall and she hits the ground. She's dead or paralyzed.
Yeah.
And she just gets up, brushes off her jeans and keeps going.
Like, not a scratch, man. Barely dusty. Barely dusty.
Yeah. And who keeps this important contract that the devil can never find, or it's hell on earth, and he hides it in a fucking shovel?
In a shovel handle. He's like, man, I constructed this shovel 100 years ago, and nobody's ever thought to just break the damn shovel.
He literally got the shit kicked out of him with his own shovel, and he snaps it over a tombstone, and it's fine. How can someone who is a demon beating the shit out of an old man not snap a handle on a shovel? Ugh.
Especially when literally the old man, later in the film, barely taps it against a fucking tree.
Yeah.
And snaps it in just pieces. Like, basically shatters it like he hit a home run.
This film.
Oh. It's something. And then, okay. Someone explain to me also, at the very end of this film, the very end, they're up on the fucking hill back at their kissing tree.
Yeah.
All right, they're back at the kissing tree. They're and he's doing this whole, all right, he's already told the devil, I'm going to use my power against you.
Spirit of vengeance.
And for spirit of vengeance. And then instantly, okay, what kind of bullshit ending line for the devil was that? Oh, you'll regret this.
And why couldn't you just take his spirit from him? You gave it to him.
Yeah. It seems like you would easily be able to take it from him. Like you were already just about to take it from him. Aha. Uh-huh. So you can bestow it, but you can't easily take it. That doesn't make any fucking sense. And then there, why does he have to leave? The only good explanation is that he's about to drive around America as the Ghost Rider, patrolling America or the world to stop the devil and his evil. And I'm like, but that's not really where they were going with it. That's not really how they set it up. And he's just basically leaving for no fucking reason, because I guess he doesn't want to be with Eva Mendez.
Which, fair point.
He's
on
like,
him.
I caught an. He's like, yeah. I mean, I'm not blaming him entirely, but
the bitch carries
like,
an eight ball in her purse.
Right. Just gonna stab him in his sleep. Motherfucker's like, I don't want to end up on an episode of Snap.
Cops, it's an episode of Cops. There's Eva Mendez throwing fucking Johnny Cage outside. You lying sack of crap!
You lying sack of shit! I told you! I knew you was down there with Jaleesa! I knew you was down there with her! You get the hell out of here! Throwing a phone at him and shit. Throwing a phone, some clothes, goddamn old vinyls.
Suitcase is just on the lawn.
Yeah.
My baby, I love you!
I love you, baby! But, alright. So that being said, okay, we've established how this movie ends, right? He tells the devil that he's about to use his power against him. Nick Cage, for the most part, has gained a pretty predominant control over his abilities.
Yep.
And he is about to start patrolling the world to basically prevent the devil and his deals and to stop him. Basically doing what Ghost Rider does, stopping demons, blah, blah, blah. So that's the end of this movie. Now, we're going to shift into Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance 2011.
This thing. There's no conscience. Hunger. The rider's going to come out. And when he does, he'll destroy whoever's got it coming. He'll take on a new form. One more powerful than he's ever known.
Ah, you started off. You're already aching. I can see you're aching to rip into this.
Oh, dude, I've been waiting. This is like, all right. You know how I've been ribbing Ghost Rider for being so bad. This is literally the first time I've ever watched this movie. Was to do this.
Oh,
with
really?
You. Like, I never watched it. Never went. I was like, I saw it coming out. I watched a little thing where they were doing like, oh, the directors are doing such a good shot with the shot angles, and look at the way they're doing it. And they showed this thing where they were going down the road and shooting it and shit. And I just like, I never felt the need. So I literally, you're like, well, let's do, but I said, oh, we can do both. And I was like, I'm finally going to watch this movie. Oh my God. I wish oh man. I was fucked by like 20 minutes in. I was just like, holy crap, how much longer does this fucking thing have?
I will say there are in the spirit of vengeance, there are some more frequent, cooler moments than the first film and some instances.
All right. Here's what I want to give it. This is, I'm not going to try to be like that. Now here's the thing. Visually, the movie is a lot better than the first one. Like, visually, they did a great job. And except for one or two moments, the CGI on him is actually pretty good because they literally just focused it on his head.
Yeah, and they made his body react to it as well.
Like, if you notice that the suit, the body, the jacket, everything else is actually, like, him. It's literally him. It's not the CGI up until like the point where he's getting thrown and shit.
Oh no, the CGI on his body.
Yeah, well, yeah, some. But what I was looking at, I was like, man, there's a bunch of scenes where you can tell it's just like they literally put like a CGI cap on him, and then it's just him with the cap on.
Mm.
Especially near the end of it, if you notice, like, because he's still, I think it's funny near the end of the movie if you pay attention. Every time he comes out of the Ghost Rider, his jacket and everything goes back to exactly the same way as it was beforehand.
Except at the end.
Except at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
He stays in the Ghost Rider outfit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, someone fucked that up.
Yeah.
And wasn't paying attention to Connor. Now, here's the... Oh, my God. This movie gave no fucks about continuity whatsoever. Literally, okay, we've just established to you right before this exactly how that movie ended. Anyone want to take a stab at how this movie begins with none of the shit that happened in the last movie?
They redo the signing of the contract. They explain his origin in the opening credits as like a little montage-y thing.
They don't even do that. Well, what it is they literally open the movie with Idris Elba.
Ah, yep.
And he's coming in and they do him and the little boy thing. And then he's being thrown off his motorcycle off the side of that cliff. And he turns around with a fucking Mida multi-tool.
He's got a P90.
Yeah. I'm just like P90 and all that, but I'm just like, I love how it looks like, yeah, they designed that modern multi-tool like, directly off that P90. So I thought that's funny going to be using, because I looked at that and I'm like, oh God, that's hilarious. He's flying off and then instantly as he shoots the gun a couple times and then they phase into Johnny Blaze narrating a section where they're explaining an animated, slightly animated section of his origin story, which the only part of that that they kept from the first movie is that his dad died and he signed a deal.
Even the way the deal is signed is completely different.
Yeah, the way the deal is signed is completely different. And now they've made it to where instead of him doing it for love or whatever, you know, that's that which they used for the first movie, now it was all selfishness.
Mm.
It was all selfishness for his lack of ability to let his father go. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I understand that. And, you know, I mean, nobody, no kid likes, you know, if you had a good, liked your dad, then you don't like him dying, but it is what it is. And I mean, it's just life. But how do we go from love to selfishness to the second movie? And why does this motherfucker start off like the Incredible Hulk?
he starts the Hulk reactions. So, yeah, so point number one, starts off like the Hulk.
It does. There's way more Hulkish vibes in through this movie, and literally it starts off like the fucking Incredible Hulk. He has gone into hiding in some like third world country out in the middle of fucking nowhere, living in some shack, like, but instead of apparently like learning to deal with his ability, he's just been going crazier because man, he really delivers a Vampire's Kiss performance in this movie.
That and his hair is completely different. Because the first Ghost Rider film, it took like 4 hours to put the wig on Nick Cage. And this film, it's like, no, we're not doing a wig. Just grow your hair out. So his hair starts at the middle of his fucking head and just goes.
Yeah, he's got that. He's got like that early 40s. I've been losing my hair for more than 10 years. Like, receded hairline. It's and it's still really thin, so you can tell it's still going back, but they're like, oh man. And his reactions to things are so outrageous. Like, it's like they literally just said, act as crazy as you can. So he said, okay, so like normal. And they went, yes. They're like, we just act like you and we'll be good. Give us one of those Vampire Kiss performances.
We'll fix it in post. We'll fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post. Don't worry about it. We'll fix it in post. At points, he is just sitting there like, oh. All right, when the mom and him, all right, find that dude. Like, they go into dude, they yank him the hell out, and they're sitting there, and she's holding the knife up to him.
Oh, the interrogation scene.
And they interrogating him, and he's just sitting there flipping out, doing this.
He's literally on crack.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm just like, what the fuck is this? What is this? They changed the guy that's playing the devil. Whatever. That's fine.
The guy from Game of Thrones, yeah.
Yeah, that,
hang on.
Man, this is like, it was crazy.
Oh, I don't even know how to say his fucking name. Kieran Hines? Kieran Hines?
That sounds right.
He's going to be in Justice English League, I'm fairly sure.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I could be wrong.
That's cute. I don't know. I'd have to look into it. I'm not really looking at it at the moment. And all I can say is, I don't know.
Yeah, he's Steppenwolf. He's the bad guy for Justice League.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He's the voice of Steppenwolf. Well,
really?
Because he's just good at comic book films.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's fine. There's nothing actually wrong with him in this movie. I'm gonna admit, there's parts of this I enjoyed more than the first movie, but even then, it's still really fucking confusing.
There are things though, I found the animated intro recap of this film better than the entire of the first movie.
Yeah, that's understandable. That's great. I have to agree with you. That was actually really, that was pretty good. So why is it that basically he has gone back from basically having absolute control over his abilities to basically having no fucking clue what he's doing?
Well, it looks like from the first film, it's just he has control over his abilities, but seeing as they pretty much through the first film under the bus, they're actually using the story from the books that the Ghost Rider is it's an actual spirit. It's another controlling force. So when he transforms into the Ghost Rider, it's not him. It's someone else.
No, that's still fun. But why is it he's like, it's like he has no understanding of it at this point. And I'm like,
it's like a day one.
It's like a really shitty way. Yeah, it's like day one. And that's my issue. It's not that he has a controlling spirit and that they're actually using that, which I thought I actually enjoyed that more than just than that. I was like, oh, okay. So they're actually using the idea of once he goes into this form, just kind of like the Hulk, he only has like a minor backseat kind of deal. It's like he literally gives up driver's seat to his body to this thing.
Yeah.
To the spirit of actual vengeance, or, you know, or what it actually is the spirit of justice, which has become very, in the movie here, you know, is the spirit of justice that has been twisted and molded after being attacked and jumped and then pulled down to hell and then tortured for like forever, a long ass time, till he basically became the spirit of justice. And then instead of focusing more on his original mission, which was to protect the innocent, it became more about punishing the guilty.
Yeah, that's a good breakdown. Recap. Yeah.
So there's that, which is all right. And I wish they had used, to be honest with you, I wish they had used more of that in a sense with the actual storyline than they did, because I almost feel like it was a throwaway thing for a minute there until like the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
At the very end of the movie, I feel like that's where they actually kind of capitalized on it. And I feel like if they should, I honestly feel like what they should have done was to do it earlier in the film. If they were going to like do it like they were going to do it, I feel like maybe when they actually transitioned him back into being Ghost Rider.
You never see that as well.
That's the point.
Huh? You never actually see him transform.
No, you never actually see him transform. And there's actually, at the same time when he's holding the boy as Ghost Rider, he sets him down and you see him as Ghost Rider, and then when they cut back to him, it's literally a chest shot, and then he drops down and he's Nicolas Cage again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So we didn't even get to see him phase out of it. No.
And that's the cool thing as well. Like when you transform, your body catches fire and your skin peels off and stuff. I'm like, that's the coolest thing. And it's
right?
Tiny. Did you think the main like henchman bad guy, the one who gets like the demonic powers halfway through the film?
Oh, the one that gets the actual decay ability?
Yeah. Did you think he looked like, before he got the decay ability, he looked like a mixture of Jim Carrey and James Van Der Beek?
Yeah, actually he did. and then as soon as he got the transformation, I went, God, dude, did y'all just watch a lot of Hellboy and then decide like we're going to go for this? Because, you know, the second Hellboy, he looks just like the villain out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Golden Circle or the Golden Army or whatever.
The Golden Circle or Gold. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what the thing is right now. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I know it's the Golden something. And it just, the instant he transformed, like, all right.
What? I love these rants.
So the dude is literally dead under this rock. Okay, now I understand what the devil's ability. Now, why is it? How did he slide himself under that rock to transform? And then dude lifts the rock off of him. He is literally flat crushed by this rock. And guy can slide his hand. Suddenly there's enough space to slide his hand under, grab him by the chest, and then there's enough space for him to just turn himself under like this. And I'm like, what?
because this is your first time watching it as well. This would have been good to have like an audio commentary of you doing it, watching it at the same time.
It would have just been me going, what the fuck are they doing?
But like,
this
even
doesn't make any sense.
Even the dialogue, like just before they interrogate the dude, when Nick Cage goes crazy, he's like, "Find out who's staking money from me. It makes my balls hurt." Who wrote that? That's like a porno writer.
Okay, like I actually laughed pretty hard. He was like, you got that money again. Make sure they don't rob me. You're all robbing me. If you're robbing me, makes my balls hurt. Smoke a cigarette.
It's like there's supposed to be a knock at the door and there's a sexy girl coming through with like a pizza and a whole fucking bucket of popcorn.
Yeah.
It was, oh,
god damn.
And then there's the B scene.
Where did the fucking soul stare go in this movie?
There was no soul stare, was there? There's no penance
where
stare.
Where did the soul stare go in this movie?
Yeah, there's no penance stare, and that's like, oh no, he...
There is no penance stare. No.
Did you...
Nope. Nope.
I think he tried to use
you're,
it.
I know what you're... Yeah. I know what scene you're thinking about, and nope.
He tried to, didn't he?
Because I said... No. There should have been no try. That once he stares them and uses the penance stare on somebody, that's it. Like, literally, it should have instantly affected that dude and burnt his goddamn eyes out.
Mm. I will say.
And left him dead. He was holding him, staring him in the fucking face for like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, true.
Like 3 minutes. He's just grabbing his face and turning him back to look at it. He's like, ah, ah, ah. And... At one point, he's like, I'm hungry. And he widens his mouth and does the rah and like starts doing the sucking thing to like suck his soul out. And he doesn't even suck his fucking soul out.
Nah, he just chains him.
Yeah. And no, he throws him aside and then he chains him. Yeah. Right after. I'm like, so.
It's like buying a pizza and like staring at it, sniffing at it, and throwing it away.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Why didn't this guy die at any point before the chain? I'm like, where did the penance stare go on this? And he never tries it again through the rest of the film.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he never even stares anybody in the face. He moves like this is goddamn. I swear to God, this is where they got the movement scheme for the witch from Suicide Squad.
Oh, I didn't
swear
think of that.
To God.
That's actually a really good point.
Like, I was watching that, and I was just like, holy shit. Did the guys that made Suicide Squad watch this? And they go, man, we should make a movie and use the... And that's where we're basing the witch's movements off of. That's creepy.
I will say, I really enjoyed the first time he sort of transforms. Like, not Nicolas Cage inside, but when it's from Idris Elba's point of view. Like, he's trying to have a cigarette, and then, like, this... fucking barn catches fire and then he's just like explosions and he's gone. And I enjoyed the actual Ghost Rider scenes. Everything else.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the actual Ghost Rider scenes. I thought they actually did a pretty good, I think they did a better job at actually making like I said, the Ghost Rider looked better in this film.
He had a cooler bike as well.
Like, I think the skull looked, the bike was cooler. Although it was different because you have the difference between one was an actual cruiser bike,
one was a chopper, the other is
the second film
V-Max.
He has a speed rocket. Yeah, he's got a crotch rocket. So there's that. You know, so you have the differences in just what type of bike he's using. But I mean, I feel like they did a better job on actually doing the skull. Except, oh my god, that scene where they're sitting on the fucking hood of that car and he's fighting old Decayer, because I don't know what the fuck his name
is.
Old Decay. They're fighting on the hood of fucking this woman of the car with the mom.
The Jeep. Yeah, they're fighting on top of a Jeep.
The Jeep. And when they go into that one scene, he's hanging his head off the side of the fucking car and they go into the all black scene. That is literally the grainiest piece of shit. Like, it goes from looking pretty deep. It's like, okay, this looks, yeah, I've been enjoying it. I think it still looks pretty decent. And then I'm like, what the fuck? Did my TV just fuck up? Because this literally became so grainy.
Video negative.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit, it's so bad. And then as soon as they come back out of that scene, everything looks fine again.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's like that scene in Ghost in a Shell with the Scarlett Johansson one. Well, there's a single part in that movie. If you watch it, when she's chasing that one dude and she fights him in the water and she's like beating his ass in the water, when right about the time she literally does the knockout punch on him, all of the CGI becomes super blurry.
Yeah.
Like, it, and most people, I guess, didn't catch it. They're like, oh, I didn't even know. Like, Dave, he said he didn't even notice it. But, like, it's only for, like, a couple seconds. I was in the theater. I'm watching it, and I'm like, man, they did a really good job. What the fuck is that?
It's like a giant bee just goes like, across the screen.
Did you see that? Yeah, I was like, a guy might as well just ran across the screen at that point. Just be like, so I'd be like, because I just turned to my cousin. I went and saw it with my cousin. I was like, dude, did you just see that? And he was like, well, how shitty the CGI just became for a second. And I went, yeah. I was like, it's literally like for like 3 seconds, they were just like, fuck it.
No, I don't notice.
No one will notice except for some jackass in the middle of Tennessee. there's that, and it, like, that was kind of crappy. And then, of course, I love how in both the films, though, the main plot point, the very main plot point of this is an empty vessel.
Yeah, it's
they use the exact same fucking plot point.
The storyline of this film is essentially an escort mission from any video game ever. Protect and take to here.
And you know what's the shittiest video missions in any video game?
Escort missions.
I mean, one or two is not bad, okay? But when you do literally 12 fucking escort missions in the same game.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag? Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 100%. Half the fucking game, more than half the game was literally escort missions. And it was like, what the hell? You chose the shittiest thing you could do to make the main point of this movie. What the game? What the hell? And then it was also the last one to have multiplayer. Boo.
No.
Did Syndicate actually have Unity? That's right. Unity had it. But they fucked it all up by the time they got to Unity, though.
Yeah.
Because when they did assassination missions, you couldn't just, like, they had changed it. Like, if you went to assassinate somebody and they countered, you phased out.
Yep.
You phased out instead of staying there, because in the original games, hell, like if they countered, it would black out, and you could either, if you could tap it fast enough, faster than them, it would reselect them and you could still kill them.
Yeah.
And or they could try to kill you, you could counter, and then you could still kill them. It took all the challenge out of the damn fucking map. It just, like, it was either you insta-kill somebody or you don't. That's it. It's like, where's the challenge, man? Where's the actual fight?
That's why you just sit back with a knife and just throw the knife.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's like, man, let's cater to some casuals. Man, casuals. And then they didn't have it no more, so that was a bad idea.
Apparently the new one's
Destiny
pretty good.
Destiny 2.
Yeah, I'm playing that. And you got it on PlayStation, man. Oh, just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I wish you had a PlayStation, and you wish I had an Xbox, because it would be good times. It would be damn good times. But I'm just like, man, cater to those casual players. Stares around room, man. I mean, end game needs some more end game plays. I know y'all ain't listening, but we need some more end game. But seriously, you know what also needed more end game? The fucking plot on this goddamn movie, because it was fucking terrible. Like, how is the kid going to be an empty vessel for the fucking devil to transfer himself into a new body that can actually take the immense amount of power that he has? But yet the son already has all the fucking powers.
Yeah.
He has the exact same power set and exact same power level as the father.
That, and he figures out he has powers right there and then.
The devil explains to him right there that he and him are almost exactly the same. He's only half demon, but he has the exact same powers and exact same power level as him. He's like father, like son. And then he puts him to sleep. So at that exact moment, that kid has, from that point to the point he comes out of it to the Ghost Rider, to have thought it over, realized it, accepted it, and then suddenly learned how to use his goddamn powers.
Yeah.
So in the span of like 5 to 6 hours, he's gone from, I don't know anything about any of this, to watch this.
Watch me shoot hellfire from my mouth.
Yeah. Watch me shoot hellfire from my mouth and turn him. And in case we didn't point this out, Idris Elba's character, after they get
right.
the boy and his mom, okay, to the monastery, right? Which is led by goddamn Raiden.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name?
Yeah. Oh, or the Highlander.
Highlander,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember his damn name, though, and I don't I look it up. But either way, everybody knows who Raiden is and who this guy is. I mean, literally, all right?
Christopher Lambert.
Christopher Lambert. There we go. Christopher Lambert. I feel like this monastery is literally where Raiden went after he lost his hair due to cancer and then decided to
cover himself
in tattoos. Yeah. But they get him, they get him here, and
that was his first film, I think, since Highlander, or like since Mortal Kombat, his first major film.
I was gonna say that was probably his first major film since like Mortal Kombat, because Highlander came out before Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, there you
go. Original one did. The original one, the last like two of them, I can't remember when they came out, especially the last one, the end game. I think that's what it was called, Highlander Endgame, it should have been called We Apologize for the Second One. So there's that. And, you know, they get him there, and Idris Elba throughout this film, and I know I just realized we didn't state any of this, and was one of the big things about what I was going to say when we started this about the continuity thing, right? All right, at the end of the first film, he is going to fight, he's going to use his ability... Or the spirit of vengeance to combat the devil, right? And doesn't want to get rid of the ability. He literally tells the devil, no, I'm keeping it. In the beginning of this motherfucking movie, the moment Idris Elba is like, oh man, I can help you get rid of that. The exact thing you want. I know I can help you with exactly. He wants to get rid of the Ghost Rider.
Yep.
So he gets rid of the Ghost Rider. Only to realize it was a bad fucking idea because I needed to save the kid, which was a plot point, so that way the kid could actually use his ability for his powers to send out the hellfire through his fucking mouth. And all of a sudden turn Nicolas Cage back into the goddamn Ghost Rider in the middle of it, and that's the closest fucking thing you actually get to see of watching him transform.
Yep.
Which is the closest thing you get to it, which is mostly him with his hands on his face. And a bunch of black smoke shooting out around him.
Yeah, or his eyes cave in. That's about as far as you get.
Yeah, that's about as much as you get. You get like the eye shift thing that they do. Okay. So.
Got any more things you want to ratchet about?
I'm just like, how does that work? He wants to get rid of the Ghost Rider. Now he is the Ghost Rider again. Now, at the very end of the movie, instead of actually capitalizing on that exact god dang moment when he transforms again into the Ghost Rider from not being the Ghost Rider or getting rid of it to actually coming in to being the Ghost Rider after the Hellfire, instead of capitalizing on it the exact moment with being the Spirit of Justice... No, we wait till after the fight is over, everything's done, and now I need to turn into the Spirit of Justice so I can make the boy wake up. And it's only in my one hand.
And then at the very end of the film.
It's in my hand. At the very end of the film, within like the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Literally the last 2 minutes of the film.
No, it's not even that. It's literally you see him go past on the screen and then the credits roll. That's it.
Well, yeah, I was like, well, he does the Spirit of Vengeance thing. He wakes the boy up. They sit there for a second. I think there's a couple words said that he goes across the screen. That's it. So maybe about a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe a minute and 20 seconds.
And he's blue. Mm. That's pretty much the only difference.
And he's blue. Yeah, the difference is that in the end of the screen, he's blue, which, you know... They use better, I think, and if you notice the fun part, like in the actual original film, he's orange up until near the end of the film. Up near the end of the film, he starts actually doing the blue flame.
He does the blue flame when Eva Mendes rocks up when he jumps off the big building and like lands when he tries.
So it's mostly around Eva Mendes
yeah.
at that point then. I forgot, yeah, that's when he does it too, because I just specifically remember the end scene when she's walking up to him after the fight's done, and he's like, no, I'm a monster. And he's mostly the blue flame.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, technically, blue burn, the blue flame's hotter than the orange flame. So wouldn't that mean that, like, just being around him would burn your melt your fucking skin off?
Pretty much. Yeah, you can't put your hand up to his face.
Like, touch the flame, and then as soon as your hand makes contact with the bone, his face just turns right back into him.
Fuck, I'd take my hand straight off his face then, just let him go back to fucking...
Yeah, no, I wanted to see that, though. Like, that's the thing. I wanted him to capitalize on it. Like, she had her hand up there, he was changing through, and I wanted to see her remove her fucking hand, and then it changed back into the Ghost Rider as she did it. I was like, that would have been cool to see, but we didn't get that. But, yeah... So we got about a minute of the actual Spirit of Vengeance. We got a number of actually visually very cool scenes.
Yeah, he gets like a mine digger and turns it into a big machine.
Yeah, that the way they actually capitalized on the ability of the Ghost Rider to change whatever vehicle that he is actually riding currently into a Ghost Rider vehicle. Didn't matter what it was. That was really cool, where he changes the giant machine in it, the trucks, everything that he changes into, like, the actual thing. And I actually think it's funny that the bike, no matter what, is still always there.
Yeah, so that's actually one of his abilities.
The bike itself is literally like Ghost Rider's sidekick.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty true as far as it goes. I just wish they had capitalized more on more of his abilities through this instead of just mostly focusing on, like, chains. It's like they did the same thing, only I feel like they fell into a bigger trope on it, on mostly just using his chain.
Well, that's
throughout this film.
There's also some, like, he's the Ghost Rider during the day, which the first film goes completely against.
Yeah, I was like, that's completely against the first film, which is that he can do it during the day versus in the shade, which is wrong anyway.
Mm.
And
the...
Because I
no, you go on.
Well, I mean, I just, as far as I know, like, that's wrong. And I actually more agree with the idea that, yeah, he can change into the Ghost Rider, whether it be the day, because it's not really... I don't feel like it would be. I never really felt like Ghost Rider's ability should be contained to something as only nighttime.
Yeah.
Or in some sort of, and not even nighttime, just in a shaded fucking area. Literally, their whole deal in that first movie was that as long as you're in a shaded area that's pretty dark,
you can change.
You can change into the Ghost Rider.
And then the second film, it's the Ghost Rider doesn't like the sun, but he can be in the sun.
Yeah, he doesn't like the sun, but he can be in the sun, which to me would fit a lot better to the actual... Now, like I say, I'm not as... You know more about the actual Ghost Rider comics and lore than I do, but that would fit more well as to my ideas to the way the Ghost Rider ability would work, that he wouldn't prefer to be in the sun, but... It's not going to affect the whether or not he's actually coming out or not.
Yeah, a couple of the books I've read, he's fine being in the sun.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I was like, say, it's just lots of stupid shit. I'm like, what the hell?
Well, the first time he transforms in the Spirit of Vengeance film, he gets shot in the chest with a grenade launcher twice, I think, and he's out. He passes out, and he wakes up in the hospital as Nick Cage.
That made even less sense. I didn't understand that. I was like, when they did that, I really didn't understand. Because I was like, so he gets shot up a few times, which I don't understand why his body is scarred up after he changes back. Yeah. Why is his normal body scarred up from the bullet rounds?
I understand the cut on his hand thing from where he signed the deal. Yeah, that makes sense. But not the bullet
round. That would make sense as being the last actual scar that his body would have incurred.
Yeah, that would have been better. And then in the quarry, he gets shot with a javelin, and he's fine.
After that scene with the grenade launcher or the slug launcher, as they called it, he can get shot as much as he wants, and it never affects him. He gets blown up with a fucking heat sinking rocket.
Yep, and he's fine.
He's fine more than once. He gets blown up more than once. Now, are you trying to insinuate to me that those drugs he stole out of the hospital have basically given him the ability to just feel absolutely no pain, whether it be that or the Ghost Rider. So his body's actually destroyed, but he's still hanging on because, like,
yeah,
he's pumped full of morphine.
If they explained the connection between Johnny Blaze and the Spirit of Vengeance of how it works in the books, then it makes sense. But because they explained nothing, it doesn't make sense. And he gets flashbanged and he's like floating in the middle of the air, just spinning in a circle when he gets a flashbang thrown at him.
Yeah, that made even... All right, he turns, looks at the flashbang, which is at least 2 or 3 feet from him, goes off, and now he's spinning in the... Was that just to fuck with people?
maybe so, but then, like, he flips his head back and looks at people.
Well, yeah, because it's like, he does the spin thing, and then he speeds up, and he's pointing his finger at that dude. You! and then all of a sudden, more... Suicide Squad witch movements.
That was pretty cool. I didn't mind how he like moved like a bit. He didn't move normally like a normal human. He moved like a bit
of
a demon.
It makes sense though. I mean, I'm not necessarily dogging on him for that. It's just I couldn't get rid of that comparison.
Yeah, that's a fucking great comparison.
Just I couldn't let it go. But it's one of those things. I mean, it's not so bad for like the character and the idea that, I mean, literally this is technically a demonic thing going on. So it makes sense that it's not going to move and inherently 100% like human. It's going to have the ability to move faster. It's going to have the ability to possibly phase fast enough that it looks like it's just an apparition of himself as he stands there.
Yeah.
Which is, makes sense in a lot of senses, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Like that's not too bad, but
the good news is Marvel MCU now has the rights of Ghost Rider back.
Yeah, which is good. Which I'm gonna be honestly, I wouldn't mind actually seeing another Ghost Rider movie as long as it doesn't star Nicolas Cage. We get somebody that isn't half bad, and we get a way better origin story. Because I don't even mind seeing the origin story for Ghost Rider. It is a simple explanation as to what's actually going on for the audience, instead of literally putting it out there and going, fuck. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. If you don't get it, it's full of explosions.
Michael Bay. Well, they've just put, because there's different Ghost Riders, they've just put the newest person to actually be the Ghost Rider in, I think it was season 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So instead of having a motorbike, he has a Dodge Charger, like a 1979 Dodge Charger.
Huh. And you say, I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Neither do I.
So I didn't know anything about that. But it seems like something at least worth looking up to see how they did.
I think you can just go on YouTube and just watch all the scenes he's in. Like, they actually show how he transforms and his skin, like, peels away and catches on fire. It's like a 2-second transition, but it's so much better than Nick Cage's screaming into the camera and holding up his hands to his face and all that sort of jazz.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, I would hope so. But, yeah, no, I mean, like, say, even if they do that, they don't even have to use Johnny again or whatever. They can transition into a different Ghost Rider. But even though I do like the motorbike, I really do like that motorbike.
Yeah. Make a Netflix series.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I mean, hell yeah, make a Netflix series. That'd be good. It would be a very good platform to actually take the time to explain the character to the audience so that way they actually understand the character.
It'd be expensive, but it'd be great.
Versus throwing it into them. It would, but it would be fucking great because, I mean, yeah, it's going to require a lot of CGI, and it's literally going to require a lot of really good CGI to make it work, because if you throw it a shitty CGI, it's... Yeah, you end up with fucking Power Rangers Dino Force.
Yeah, yeah. But thank God that that Marvel has got it back, and they appear to be using it quite well. Sparingly, but quite well.
Yeah, yeah, very, 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 very so. I mean, they're kind of getting some of their rights back. They have Spider-Man completely now, don't they?
They've got a deal with Sony that it's sort of like... Marvel can use Spider-Man for Avenger films, but standalone films, they're in the Marvel universe, but they are Sony films.
They're Sony films. Okay. I was like, I can't remember how, if that did, like, That shit's got to be phased out sometime soon.
Well, the deal works that, say, for like Spider-Man Homecoming, Sony made all the money on ticket sales and stuff like that. So if, you know, there was, you know, $350 million in ticket sales, that all went to Sony, but Marvel got the merchandising rights. So if, you know, kids bought backpacks or toys or whatever, that went to Marvel.
Oh, you know they did.
Yeah.
You know they made a ton of money off merchandising.
Yeah.
That's what I love Mel Brooks, man. All the money made in merchandising.
Yeah.
Get your Spaceballs lunchbox.
Now, Dracula Dead and Loving It's my Mel Brooks.
Huh?
Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Oh, Dead and Loving It, yeah. Yeah, no, like, that's fucking great. But, shit, everybody. I think we're done with these.
Yeah.
I think we're completely done with that. I think I've ranted enough times about Ghost Rider, these Ghost Rider films. For how much I give Nick Cage so much shit, I seem to love Nick Cage. Because I always find a reason to watch a Nick Cage movie.
Yeah, I wanted to pick the Ghost Rider films because it's like we'd had discussions previously. I'm like, yeah, let's do an episode of Now in Tech. What do we pick? And I'm like, Ghost Rider is such a sweet character, but man, those movies are horse shit.
Yeah, they did not do that character justice at all.
And it,
like, I don't feel like they did it at all.
And then they did like the Punisher film in 2002, 2003. So there's all these really good characters that just got.
They
shit.
Did really bad with, really bad. Like the, God, that Punisher movie, so bad.
Thomas Jane, John Travolta.
Yeah, yes, so bad, so bad. Like, oh, I don't like that movie. I literally watched it the once and just said, nope, not again.
Well, that's what I'm like with the first Ghost Rider film. I'll watch Spirit of Vengeance again because there are some cool things here and there, but that first film, and that's made in Melbourne. That's made in Australia.
Yeah. Aside from having watched the first Ghost Rider film with you to do this, I think that's the last time I'm watching that movie.
At least you didn't spend $13 on it.
That's true. That's true. I only spent $4.74.
Well,
I spent $4.74.
Well, it's on your DVD shelf forever now.
Well, I actually rented it from Amazon
because
I didn't feel like actually wasting the space to put the disc over there.
Yeah, no, I
feel like I would end up in a Green Lantern type situation right there where I'm literally just going to snap the disc and throw it away and just say never again.
God.
Of course, I didn't actually finish that movie.
The only good thing of that film is Mark Strong. That's about it.
Yeah, Man, I've never in my life gotten so mad at a movie as I did fucking Green Lantern.
That's how I got into comic
books. I literally was like, I started yelling at the fucking screen, basically. Like, are you fucking kidding me? This is the shittiest thing. God damn it, Ryan Reynolds. This is twice you fucked up. Twice you fucked up. The first time, I give you a pass. Maybe it's because it's literally because of the direction. It's the team. It wasn't your fault. You just worked with what you was given with. But this shit, I'm laying this at your feet, Ryan.
And that film got me into reading comic books. And I fucking hate the Green Lantern film, but I'm an avid Green Lantern fan.
Green Lantern himself is actually a really good character. That film is just a giant piece of shit. Giant piece of CGI shit. Why was the fucking suit CGI? Why was the whole suit CGI?
I don't know. I don't know, buddy. I can't answer that one.
I don't know, buddy. It's terrible, buddy. But all right, I'm gonna start wrapping this up before I really getting mad about stupid things in comic book films that should have never happened. First Deadpool.
Punisher. Fantastic Four. Punisher. All of them.
Any one of them. Oh, God. But all right, everybody. So this has been fantastic. Duty, I guess, what do you want to rate them? What do you going to rate it?
Because I'm
seriously giving each one. I'm giving the first one a fucking coma. Not even gonna bother to give it a going to sleep. I'm literally not waking up to fucking even breathe to watch this movie.
The first one is a giant pile of dog shit. There's pretty much nothing redeemable about it. So hang on, Case of 40s is your highest, isn't it? Is that the highest?
Yep, Case of 40s is the highest. A Case is the second highest. Six pack is a 3. 40 is a 2. Going to sleep is a 1. And a coma is a fucking 0.
I'm going
to
go with a coma.
Yeah, I'm going with coma.
it's so bad. It's like Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme, like that bad.
Hey. Hey, no. I'll watch me some Street Fighter now. It's bad. It's terrible. It is god awful.
Super electric conductive magnetism.
It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense in a lot of fucking ways. But Raul Julia, for the life of him, love that man. God bless him. He acted the shit out of that role.
Mm.
While everyone else was dicking off, he acted the shit out of that role. And it's still the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
You just can't, I can't help it. I watch it, I'm just like, oh God, I love Raul. It's fucking Bison. He's so good. For you, it was the greatest day of your life. It was the day that Bison graced your town. For me, it was a Tuesday.
All right, I will give you that.
So there's that, but no, it's not good. It's like watching Mortal Kombat Annihilation. It's just not good.
The foam ice bridge.
Oh, God. Oh, it's terrible. And then for Spirit of Vengeance, much more lightheartedly, I think I'm going to go with a 40. I'd give it a 40.
I'm in between 40 and 6. But that's because I know the backstory of the comic book character and the scenes with Ghost Rider are cool, but everything else is shit. But you're probably better with a single 40.
Yeah. I just feel like just what little bit I do know about the character and his general power setup and his general backstory, just the little bit I know, and then like agreeing with you that the scenes with Ghost Rider in them are really good. Aside from that, I really cannot come up with something that's just something standout that would raise my rating up past a 6. I mean, I like Idris Elba.
And his love of wine.
And his love of wine. I like Christopher
Lambert.
Lambert. I like him, but there's just, and I like the dude that plays the devil. I like the characters. I like the guys that played them. I just think the story was so lacking and the plot was so.
If they redid like this film so without Nicolas Cage, it'd be better. If the story is the same and they just had another actor instead of Cage,
that would have even worked. You know, one of the things that I actually was hoping for, even though I knew it was, I was like, God damn it. I really wish the second film had not had Nicolas Cage in it.
Yeah.
It would have made it better just to see a different actor, possibly a younger actor that's not gracing us close to almost 50 by the time this fucking movie is shot.
Yeah. And it's a Marvel Knights film. So, you know, if the MCU wanted to do Ghost Rider, if it's not a Netflix series, do it as a Marvel Knights movie and make it R-rated.
Yeah. That would be really cool. Matter of fact, I feel like an R-rated Ghost Rider movie would be appropriate.
There's actually apparently a really good, I haven't read it, but it's Ghost Rider, Punisher, and Wolverine.
Uh-oh.
That'd be fucking sick.
There you go. That'd be sick. That'd be good stuff, man. I'd love to see that. But, all right, Duty, tell everybody where they can find Shaken Not Nerd.
You can Google us. That's probably... Or if you can't have... If
that's
you,
solid. If you that's always my answer.
Or, you know, if you don't like Google, you can use Bing. Now we're a podcast where we talk about movies, video games, comic books. We're about to record Thor tomorrow and doing a giveaway for that. We're one of the two Melbourne shows in the Podfix network.
That's right. That's right. As a matter of fact, they have a YouTube, also Shaken Not Nerd.
Yes.
go on there and subscribe to that. As I did today, realizing that I had not subscribed already.
You're all good, buddy.
So there's that. As a matter of fact, there will be, he did inform me there will be more content on that coming soon and down the pipeline. And as a matter of fact, here soon, I myself will be doing, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do it, but I might actually try to stream either on Now in Technicolor or the Podfix live stream my second playthrough of South Park.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to play the black. I will allow other people if on the stream to actually make all of the choices for the character, any of the integral choices. They get to fill out all of the character sheets and basic setups and things. The only thing that no one gets a choice in will be race and race difficulty and the Coon's ultimate.
Because
I will not
yet.
Use the Coon. I'm not going to use the Coon's ultimate because there's a, I fucked up already. I've used it. And there's a thing, that I was saying that to get the trophy is you have to do everyone's ultimate in the game except for the Coon's.
Oh shit. I've already, he's got the giant area of effect bleeding one, doesn't it?
He has one that's an area effect bleeding one, and it does, if you haven't seen it or whatever, I can explain it. Like, it's basically, it's like his movie career launched off. It's just a bunch of magazines and stuff, him sitting down talking to Jared Leto. And it's fucking hilarious, but yeah, I need to not do it. but that should be really fun. That should be really fun. And there might be some other things coming down the line as time goes on. But yeah, as a matter of fact, and this has been Now in Technicolor. You can find us at Now in Technicolor. Just type that into your search engine. You're going to find us. I'm all over the place. It's Now in Technicolor podcast. And as of course, you can also find me, Duty, and a bunch of other glorious shows on the Podfix Network at podfixnetwork.com. And as a matter of fact, also, if you like football and fantasy football at that, we also have the Podfix Presents at the moment, which is featuring our first actual main show, which has its own feed line of Podfix Presents of the Podfix Fantasy Football League with a bunch of great guys in it from different shows.
Go Green Bay.
Kind of going after it.
Go Green Bay.
Yeah, there you go, Duty. Go Green Bay. That's some Chris, some Brayton Love right there, Green Bay. No, he's a big Green Bay fan. Yeah, yeah. And then there should be some other great stuff coming down the line. I know there's a number of other good shows in the works. And at the same time, there's also the Mindless Commentary Theater, which I'm doing with Dave. If you ever want to check that out, that's on there. But aside from that, everybody, it's been fun. It's been great. We love you. Thank you so much for listening. And stay colorful.
Time to go to sleep, man.
Check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.